We are a storied people. We emerge from a beautiful, big, old, old story. And in the Old Testament, we see the people of God recognize and retell and proclaim this story over and over. And as a storied people, we see the people of God respond in a posture of gratitude and thanksgiving. And today, we are launching our series, Grateful, for this week and next week. And for some, it might seem difficult to take on the posture of gratitude during a week like this, but perhaps it might even be a countercultural thing to do. And I'm reminded of Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5, that reads, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." This psalmist, like many, is one that is responding from a story of who God is and a story of the God who fulfills the promise. And we read many psalms that are psalms of lament, and we read many psalms that are thanking God for specific acts. And I like this one because this one is responding with a heart of gratitude of the God who is, of the God who redeems us from the pits, of the God who forgives our sins, of the God who heals our diseases. And today, we look to the God who unifies. We look to the God of love. We look to the God of peace, and we trust in those promises, and we trust in the future promises as well. And so today, as we recognize that we are storied people, we've invited our Armenian congregation not to only lead us through worship, but we have invited Pastor Mano to come forward to share his story of how God has redeemed him from the pit. And one of the things that I love about Pastor Mano's story is it's a great collision of stories in many ways, as his story collided with that of missionary Gordon Johnston, who many of you probably know and remember, and he is here in many ways because of the impact of that. And so today, as we think about what it means to be a people that are grateful, we get to have Pastor Mano, who is pastor of our Armenian church, or our Armenian Christian outreach of Paz Naz. It has been here since 2006 or 2005, 2007, somewhere in that time frame. And it's a wonderful ministry. I've had the opportunity to go down there. And as we think about what it means for us to be a unified congregation, for us to be one that has many congregations, the Korean, the Cantonese, the Mandarin, the La Fuente, Armenian, no, I'm forgetting one. But it's, what's that? Yes, La Fuente Ministries, our bilingual ministries. And what that means, we thought the best way to start would be to take on the posture of listening, to begin listening to one another's stories. And so, Pastor Mano, please come forward and... We're so excited to have you here as one of us today and to hear your story, how it collided with God's story.
Thank you, Pastor Deitch. Am I supposed to turn this on?
Yes.
On. Thank you. I tell you, on top of suffering with ADD, and you name it, kind of a D, and Pastor, you know, and Pastor Leach invites me, and I'm looking at her. She's taller than me. I have complexes as well. I'm having some issues right now trying to focus, I have to tell you. And, of course, her heart-to-heart talk to us. And then you had to show that video about grieve. So I'm a pretzel. What do you want? I'm the pastor of Armenian Congregational Church. Thank you. Let's go have donuts. They have amazing donuts back there and coffee. And on top of that, I had 3 cups of coffee. I'm wired. And Pastor Leach, you went to the principal's office once. I'm also having another problem. My principal of Marshall High School, right, is sitting back there, and he had a regular chair for me, and It's mono again. So, and he's there and he's looking, he's like, wow, miracles. God does do some amazing things. I believe now. I have seen with my own eyes and I believe. I want to kind of tell you the story, a story about my life. And I'm so grateful. And I don't have a sermon, but I want to tell you a little bit about me and the Armenian outreach and how my story began. And actually, I think I was born in the perfect era. And as I was thinking about what I'm going to say, I said, all right, Mono, what's one thing about you that you remember? I think I was born in the perfect era. And the perfect era that I was born in was amazing because I got to experience some of the things that we no longer have. For example, I got to experience black and white TV, right? And it had three channels, and you had to get up and go tick, tick, tick. Now, in Lebanon, we only had three channels, but the problem is the TV had many channels, and I don't know why they would put all those channels. You go, tr, 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 and there's actually three channels. And in Lebanon, as most of you know, they would start bombing, and there goes the three channels you had, which, anyways, you had them for 2 hours anyways a day, and now you lose that, right? I thank God for that. And to a modern era of technology, an amazing technology where, I was thinking of the phones, the iPhone, and I came up with the iPhone 20. And I was thinking about iPhone 20, what it does is you no longer need to go to work. You no longer need to pay your bills. It does everything for you. It'll drive your car. You don't need Uber. You don't need taxi. It'll take you wherever you want. The iPhone 20 is coming up. Because I lived in an era where we opened albums. How many of you guys had albums, black and white pictures, and eventually they turn into Polaroid, and then they turn into better, right? Those are awesome. Today, all the pictures are in the cloud somewhere. I finally figured out through science what clouds are for. You put pictures up there. Now, you know, and also the phones. I love, speaking of phones, I love the phones, and I'm trying to help myself to focus, right? I love the phones in Lebanon, and it would be like, hello, you talk to your friend, you wait 5 minutes, hello, how are you? How are you? You know what? I'm going to hang up, just come next door and talk to you. It's quicker, right? So I got to experience that, and I got to experience a phone where you just talk and it'll text, and so many good things. Of course, that was the evolution of technology. I also got to enjoy the evolution of the church culture, not the message. You have to remember, we always have to be careful. The church message has never changed, but the church culture has changed a lot. Now, I come from a culture where they believe, the foundational belief was fear of God. To a modern culture where it's grace and love. And I understood what grace and love is later on in my life where it kind of was explained this way. In Lebanon, you don't take money to go to the grocery store. We have credit cards, but they're not plastic. It's who your dad is. You would walk into the store, you would buy whatever you want, and then you'll say, write it on a piece of paper, right? Write it, Aid al-Daftar, in Arabic, right? I'm Armenian, by the way, was born in Lebanon. So, and then end of the month, your dad will go pay your debt. Now, when I discovered that as a little young kid that ended up at the principal's office every day, what do you think I did? Woo! Did I have some candies and ice cream? And I have three siblings. My older brother, he's 10 years, about 10 years older than me. Being born in an Armenian culture, if you're a male and you're born, it's kind of the Jesus syndrome. You live with your mom till you're 33. You inherit your dad's business. My brother's a pastor, right? And your mom thinks you're God. It's Armenian culture, a little bit about Armenian culture for you. So I was the youngest. I had two sisters. And one of my sisters is the person that I run to all the time. It's Mary when I get in trouble. Emma is the person that gives me ideas. She said, you know, we could go get ice cream and candy and it's free. And dad will pay for it at the end. Don't worry about it. Woo, that bill went up. And end of the month, I understood fear of God, grace and love. My dad beat me so hard. And this man was the cutest, most handsomest man you've ever met. He didn't look Armenian, Pastor. Looks just like your husband. Blue eyes, like this most handsome. My dad, I'm looking at him. He's like, man, that looks like my dad. He looks like handsome man. All of a sudden turned into the, I don't know what it was, two heads, you know. And he beat me. It took me 45 minutes to stop heaving, but I understood what fear and love is. So I'm grateful for that beating. In fact, it just brought a lot of character in me. Also, I come from a culture, a church culture, where you had to wear a suit versus t-shirt and jeans. So I grew up in that culture, and I got to experience that. This morning, I preached without a jacket, and my mom is here. I think she's 170 years old. I really think so. I'm serious, right? And as soon as I walked in today at about 10:20, I walked into church. My mom's like, why weren't you wearing your jacket? I'm like, okay, I'm wearing my jacket. So where men and women never hugged, they shook hands. In fact, a man would never shake a woman's hand if that woman was married. And to a culture where we just hug each other and we love each other in a different way. From a culture where we kind of hung on to things and we repaired them, and if your shirt button broke, you sewed it back. Your shirt ripped, you sewed it back. We knew how to preserve things to a culture that we dispose of things. Throw it in the gutter, go get another, because I just remember that song. I tell you, ADD, some of your therapists are looking and saying, you need help. Yes, everybody knows that. So, and being stuck in that culture, and there's so many other things that I got to experience and see evolve into a new culture, the church culture. In the midst of this culture, I come to America, and Mr. Ramirez's life just got ruined. Marshall High School. I come to America, and I go to church, and I've learned and adapted so many things, especially what holiness was in that culture and what holiness has become into this culture. And knowing that and understanding that and being into this new world, new country, and this new culture, it was very different for me to understand. But there was one complaint, and the complaint was, we're losing our college students. They no longer want to come to church. We're losing our high schoolers. They no longer want to come to church. And I understood that there was a problem. And my father had always taught me this. You see, in church, son, he says, there's two things you could do. One, blame, complain, and leave. Two, you could look at it as a calling. God is calling you for something. God is calling you, because most of the prophets in the Old Testament, there was a problem, and they got called to that problem, and they went and they did something about it. They spoke about it, and they did something about it. And I realized that day and then, with having all kinds of resources of old school holiness, which was powerful, and it worked good, to a new modern of emotional understanding and asking questions such as, how do I know that's true? The questional generation, or the generation who says, are we there yet? Are we there yet? You see, I came where service really doesn't matter how long it took, to a place where they said the average span, patient span, is 15 minutes. Now, how could I say anything in 15 minutes? It takes me 30 minutes to figure out if I'm preaching or not. I'm like, are you saying something that makes sense? I don't know. I'm talking to myself right now, right? So 15 minutes. So I understood that I wasn't really going to blame, complain, analyze, and eventually get frustrated and leave from the church. But God had called me, and I was called to reach out to the next generation of young people that are being brainwashed by a new form of knowledge, which is the religion of our colleges, who are teaching atheism as a religion. You see, I understood that, and I realized that one of the most powerful religions out there are anti-God religions. And our colleges and universities, we've handed it down to them and these professors who really started believing in a new form of knowledge, which they called science, which is commonality and not really truth, but there's truths to it, researchers and figuring out how things are being done rather than they've never created anything or invented anything. The only thing that they've done is duplicated and figured out how God had created certain things and said, now, this is what happens to you if you do this, this, this. This is what happens to you. And they called it the science, the truth. And a lot of our young people started getting numbed to that. I love that song. You know that song that we, the last song that we played. Can we have that song back up? I'm doing like Sunday night as I'm the, like the senior pastor. Can we have that song? Pastor, where's that song? You know, the numb stuff, right? Where is it? That's beautiful. Now you totally lost me. I'm fishing. Oh, come up. Oh, there it is. We have a screen. Oh, come up. A man, it seems, okay, much, okay, next one. Here it is, next verse. Down, okay. And one by one, I love that. Look, look, go back up, one by one. Where's that one by one? I saw one by one. And one by one, the enemy has whispered lies. I love that song. I was singing that song. I'm like, wow, that's powerful. Like, right? Listen, listen. And led them off as slaves, right? So I knew I was going to do something with the youth. There's one thing I wasn't going to do. I wasn't going to use the church culture that I grew up with, which it had its own lingo. See, we Christians came up with our own lingo that really doesn't make sense for people who don't know who God is, right? Check this out. So the first thing I was going to do, I was not going to use any church lingo. By the grace of God, who's grace? Is that God's sister? Someone with grace. People don't understand that. Also, I love Julie Keith. I walked up to Julie and said, how are you doing, Julie? She goes, not good. I'm trying to make it. You know her story, her, you know, just tragedy after tragedy. Now, if you would ask me that in my church culture, if a truck ran me over and you walk up and I'm on the freeway, the truck has ran me over and I have two last words to say, and you say, Mano, how you doing? I'll be like, praise God, I'm doing great. But I'm not doing great. So I wasn't going to use that language. And I was going to not use the Bible as a bias information. What I was going to do is I was going to talk science to those people who believe in science in a very powerful way, because you see, scientists are figuring out what God made. See, God is my father. He's made everything. Woo! They're checking out about my dad, and my dad knows everything, has created everything, so they need to know what the actual truth is, right? So I wasn't going to use the Bible. So the first thing I did, and I brought this water bottle. First thing I did, and we started this ACOP ministry, I wanted to talk about if there's a water bottle, there's a water bottle maker. And the water bottle maker made this water bottle for a purpose. If there's a man, there's a man maker. And man maker made man for a purpose. You are not a cosmic accident. Woo! Man, that feels good, doesn't it? And there is a purpose for your life. In fact, the water bottle maker was not very creative. He just made one bottle that looks the same, but he made it so we could put water in it. My father made each and every one of us different, not just in looks. Thank God. That's why the world is so beautiful. Can you imagine if we were one race, one look, one color? How ugly is that? My father was very creative and when it comes to creation, because he needed you to look at the Armenians and say, what's that? A miracle! That drives a Mercedes and BMW on the freeway, just in case if you want to throw us off. So we established that you are made. You are a cause of something. You're not a cosmic accident, and God has made you, and there's a purpose for you. The second thing we wanted to establish is we wanted to establish that, how am I made? If the engineer engineered me, and how am I made? I established through teachings and of you are built like a tripod. There's a physicalness about you, and there's a mentalness about you, and there's a spirit about you, and you have to exercise all these parts of your life. You have to exercise your mind. That's why we go to school. It took me a long time to figure out, why do we need to go to school? Why do we have our kids suffer? My boys are, no, it's not for you. You're going to school. Why do I have to go to school and suffer? You know, it's just, I realized that if I didn't go to school, I would have continued doing what I did to Mr. Ramirez. Every time I got caught, he would say, now, why did you do that? No English. I tried that no English for many, many years. Mr. Ramirez learned Armenian. He said, let's talk Armenian. If you don't speak, I'm like, okay, I got to get out of this. So I had to get educated in order for me to hold a conversation, in order for me to get up and preach the word of God and make sense, right? So mind really needs to exercise. Our bodies need to exercise. We need to have physical exercise in order for us to have a balanced believer. If you're a balanced person, a human being, if you don't exercise your body, it will show. And our spirit needs to exercise. And if your spirit is not exercised, you have a major problem. You got to understand, see, you're made 100% spirit. The water bottle was created just so it could contain the water. You are water. The water bottle is just containing you. The water bottle is recyclable. Whoop, we throw it away. We call it dying. When you die, the water bottle dies. The water spirit, you will never die. I'm the resurrection. Oh, I'm not going to use the Bible. I said I wasn't going to use the Bible. Even though Romans says you don't need the Bible to know that God exists, look at the stars in heaven and the moral law with them, we're not going to use the Bible. We want to show the world that we'll get to it. See, here's one problem that we're having, and I'm faced with this problem with today's generation. See, the generation prior to where I grew up with understood holiness, and they understood holiness that your outside plasticness really doesn't matter. You're inside what matters. They were more spiritual than physical. Our generation were more plastic stuff, and we cover our use our body to hide the inner person that has issues, fears, phobias, not being accepted. So if I want to be accepted, woo, what do I do, right? Okay, I'll just get six-pack abs. I'm working on them. So far, it's one. With all the Armenian fattening food, it's always going to be we are one, and it just kind of ADD kicked in. So we need to understand that. We need to understand that the inner mono is more important than the outer mono. The outer mono is just a shell that's going to die. It's going to decay, but the inner one is what matters. And we needed to talk about spiritualism and spiritual exercise. The problem with spiritualism, people always go to mysticism. When we talk about spiritualism, people always get mystical. See, okay, here's, I'll explain to new generation, old generation. And I thank God that I'm stuck in between because I got to get the meat from the old generation and I'm giving meat to the new generation. Check this out. See, the old generation understood love as an act of devotion till death do us apart. The new generation understands love as desire. I saw the girl in the room. She was pretty. I desired her. I mean, I love her. I want to marry her. Walk up to her, say, will you marry me? In Armenian case, put a gun in the head. You have a free will. Would you marry me? Yes or no? Yes, of course. Thank you. So we desire things. We say we love our cars. As a pastor, I have never married anyone to their cars yet. But see, the generation is kind of understands love differently than they understood. See, when I look at my father and his generation, they loved God. They had knowledge who was God, and they were willing to die for God. You see, they were not part of the world. And you look at our generation, we're kind of mixed in with the world where we don't know if someone is a Christian or not. See, I have to take that good stuff of holiness and kind of share it with my people and say, all right, I want to explain to you what holiness is, my young, awesome people. There's a water inside of you that's you 100%. That water is your spirit. Holiness is when you connect with the Holy Spirit and all of a sudden things happen to your life. Forget about the outside. Because in 6 months, we can culturally teach you how to be a Christian, how to say amen, praise the Lord. How is it going? Great, thank God. But I'm dying inside. Right? Versus to understand and to believe and to devote your whole entire life to it. Not because you have to. So we talked about now, spiritualism also has another problem. I tell the story of me coming to America. In Lebanon, we had one kind of a cereal, eating cereal, right? One kind. Now, that was me. I don't know. In Lebanon, one time I said that, somebody came and says, oh, in Lebanon, we had a lot of different cereals. I don't know where you lived. Okay, I lived in the slums. We had one kind of cereal, and that's all we had. When I came to America, there was Alpha Beta. You guys remember Alpha Beta? Some of you guys, you said yes, you just said how old you were. Don't ever do that. Okay? So we had Alpha Beta, and I went to Alpha Beta, and I wanted to get corn flakes. Right? You call it corn flakes. We call it corn flakes. There's an accent to it. I walk in the alley, and there were so many cereals, I didn't know. What am I going to do? Choices, so many cereals. Which cereal am I going to eat? And I understand when it comes to spiritual exercise, there's so many religions out there. There's, in fact, 12 major religions. There's 7 worldviews that are going to tell you how you can exercise your spirit. The problem it becomes is all of them going to tell you how you can earn and deserve God, what you should do to go to heaven, what should you do to be a good person. And that was the best news I wanted to hear. Because that throws Christianity out of the world of religion. See, Christianity doesn't teach you how you can earn or deserve God. It says God loves you unconditionally. You don't have to do any good deeds to earn God's love. Woo! All right, now I have a ground to stand on. The Bible does not fall into the religious book, but it becomes the way for spiritual life. The truth for spiritual life, and life for an awesome, incredible life, even though sometimes a truck will run you over, you'll still stand up and say, woohoo, to the shining battle, valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It just does something to you. And the way is, it's going to teach you how to live life that is holy. And holiness is not a Christian language. Holiness is, there's a designer that has designed you to live in a certain way. Holiness is for you to live in that certain way so you may be happy. A car was never designed to hit the wall. It was designed to go from point A and B over the speed limit. For me. Always thought about that. So evil will be when I take my car and I decide that I'm going to hit the wall. And when I take that idea of evil and hit the wall, I have just sinned. So you see, sin and evil is not a Christian thing. Sin and evil is a design thing. You are not meant to sin because sin will hurt you. It has nothing to do with God. It has to do with how God has designed you. Men, you are not designed to watch pornography. You understand? You're not designed that way. It's not an issue Christians don't watch porn and non-Christians watch porn. In fact, I don't think Christians have sex. I don't know. My dad and mom, they were hardcore believers. There's 4 of them. I'm sure it wasn't just 4 times. I'm sure there's more to it than that. So, and we separate And men, if you watch porn, this is holiness. See, I heard my parents tell me, don't go to movies. I thought it was an old thing. You don't go to. Then I understood that when you go to movies that are secular, what it does to you, it puts ideas in your head. And those ideas eventually want to come out and kind of become alive and experience. And we didn't understand that. And when it comes to pornography, it's you're thinking you're doing it because you need it or you're, it's for pleasure. Let me tell you something. We can talk science, dopamine, bleep, 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 spraying your brain, bunch of holes in there. And eventually you're going to become a man that is constantly consumed by looking at women as objects rather than partners. You see, pornography, not watching pornography, is not just for Christians. It's how the engineer has designed you. And I could go on into different kinds of evils and sins because you are created that way. You are created for holiness. Holiness is not mysticism. Holiness is not a feeling. Holiness is not a point in time. Holiness is a constant growth when you keep your eyes on Jesus. And holiness is when you understand you are poo-poo water. You need Holy Spirit water to come in. And now, out of you, things are being revealed, such as pure and true love. You follow me? But I'm going to, I didn't want to say this, but I want to say this. Oh, God, there goes the beep. Fred, that's when you go, beep. Because Pastor Leach started it. Culturally, listen to this. Culturally, I do not agree to have a senior pastor that is a woman. But I came to Pastor Leach and I said, if God has placed you here and I know God's leading you, what do you want to do? Tell me. That way, this way, direct, go, we'll go. We don't agree, but we work together hand in hand. You see, if this was the monoculture, Pastor Leach, there will be a horse's head in your bed tomorrow. Actually, we don't have horses. We'll be your Chevy block, engine block will be something like that. And she probably loves me because I'm honest and predictable, crazy, ADD. Least to become, I think if you ask any Armenian out there in regards to Pastor Mono being a pastor, I am least credible person to become a pastor, but I have a calling and I cannot stop. Amen. See, because I learned things and what I'm teaching to our congregation, holiness is habits that you develop and will shape your life. And happy life depends on the commitments that you make and the habits that you develop. And we started this teaching about some of the habits that I learned from the elders in the times that I lived in. Number one, instead of calling it prayer, we call it hanging out with God. You wake up every morning and say, woo, I got a headache, but God, I know that you're my God. And I know that today I'm going to have a powerful day in spite of how many people might rip my heart out, beat me, or verbally abuse me. It won't matter because I know you're with me. And if you're with me, what and who can be against me? Ooh. Habit number one. We start in habit number two. We said you're created to be in a relationship with God. We call it the Holy Spirit constantly being poured into you. So your yucky water will turn into the Holy Spirit attribute type of a water. Second, I learned from the elderly that we also created to be in relational, to hang out with one another. America, you need to go to Lebanon. There's a mosque. There's a Christian church attached to each other, Catholic, Orthodox, Protestant, Evangelical, all together. and all their bishops and all their leaders sit together and eat together. Now, they don't have the way. They have religion. We have the way. We have to always remember that. So we learn that we're relational. We hang out with one another. We call that accountability. Third thing we learned, or we're learning, is memorizing scripture. Memorizing scripture. Going back to accountability, in accountability there is encouragement and encouraging one another. I was at the pastor staff meeting, and we all had to encourage one another. And that was so cool for me to Pastor Joe, for him to be encouraged. I was sitting there. Hovell came down. He says, "Brother, I'm praying for you." And I was like, "Wow, Hovell, that was like, whoa, man, that was so good." We're relational. But the other part that we learn is, I learned from the elderly, the holiness people, is verse memorization. Google does not have the answer for your life. The Bible does. And when you're being tempted, you can't Google, "I just saw a pretty girl say hi to me." Google or Siri, "What should I do?" Well, say hi to her and ask her for digits. "Hi, I know your zip code. What is your phone number?" Well, the Bible, memorizing Bible one will teach you how to make decisions in your life. There was a man that, as many men have impacted my life, and one of them was Gordon Johnson. He gave me the ability to get up and to preach and to say, "Go tell the good news to the world." I was like, "Yeah." And then there's another man named Samuel Pashikyan in Lebanon. This man was the most amazing, holy man that you've ever met. He was gifted in art. So what he would do, he was write verses, and he would give them to people so they can hand them in their houses. During the war, where we were kind of in basements and we really didn't have anything to do, during the war, this man started a game. How many verses can you memorize, and how many questions from the Bible can you answer? And he started that game, and that, I believe, has built a foundation in my life that whenever I am confused, I go to the Word of God, and the Word of God leads me. That's powerful. Last week we talked about the church, and I'm kind of telling you what we do at ACOP. Last week we talked about how important the church is. The church is Christ. This week, Sunday night, we're going to be talking about tithing. We call it the devoted thing. I'm sure we're going to have low numbers, right? We can talk about giving to God. No, we don't. ACOP is such a blessing. By the way, this whole ministry, when it started many, many years ago, I had a couple of friends that said, "We'll be behind you." And I said, "Okay, I'll preach. You guys support the church." Said yes. God has blessed them tremendously financially, and they keep supporting the church, and we continue doing that. So the importance of the church and tithing, we call it the devoted thing. Friends, the message of God has never changed. Before you were even conceived, I had known of you, and I had plans for your life. You're not a cosmic accident. You're created as a spirit trapped in a body for a little while. And during that little while, you get to live holy, and in holiness, you get to know and experience God in a powerful way. Where when your heart breaks, you don't go to substances and you don't go to alcohol and drinking. They work, of course, they work in pain. But God will restore you, and there's a process of restoration. Holiness is when you're standing still and you know that God is God and you don't panic. When you know that God is always with you. I know. I'm looking at the time. It's 12 o'clock. I'm grateful for you guys, for all of you. These walls were built by holiness people that took what they had and put it into the offertory so this building will come up. Because they knew that God is the giver of all things, and what they have belongs to God. I'm grateful for those. I'm grateful for you accepting Armenian Christian outreach as part of PASNAS with a pastor that needs a lot of help. We're not a perfect church. We are, issues. I'm the issue, by the way. They're awesome people. Issues, many issues. Thank God that you have accepted us, and we also have accepted the fact that this is our home, and you are loving and kind. Don't let any ideas come in your head. Maybe you're not doing this right. You're not doing that right. You, what you're doing is awesome, because a week doesn't pass where someone doesn't come to Christ. This is us. We're PASNAS. And what makes us beautiful is shapes, colors, yes, heights. She always brags about her height. You're lucky I'm not 6'2" with blue eyes. This is who we are. And we laugh through our pain. We rejoice through things that most of the world cannot rejoice. Thank God, thank you for accepting us as Armenian Christian Outreach of PASNAS. Now let's go win some souls, because they're dying and they're hungry.
Thank you, Pastor Mano, and thank you to the Armenian congregation. We thank God for you and for your ministry. Let us pray. Father, we give thanks that we are storied people, that we emerge from a history. And although many of us emerge from different histories or different cultures or different stories, we emerge from one story and one history that unites us. And for that, we can declare that we are one people of God. And for that, we can say we are grateful. We are grateful for the God who redeems us. We are grateful for the God who lifts us out from the pits. We are grateful for the God that forgives. This is our story. This is our song. And so we praise our Savior all day long. In your name we pray. Amen.